getting a lot of yoga. Getting a lot.
Because this coming week is Kabbalah Sator Rosh Chodesh, so I thought I would talk about halachas that relate to Kabbalah Torah. The Gemara says in Megillah, in the first parak, that Kabbalah Torah is really the yesod of Kabbalah Torah Kula. And we know that in the days of Sfira, which are the days that we are about to close, there was a major tviya about the Kabbalah Torah of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. And so, in effect, at this period of time is a period of time where we have to be extraordinarily careful about Kabbalah Torah. The Gemara says that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died. Why? Because Shalonagu Kabbalah Zelazeh. They didn't show proper respect one to the other. And it could very well be that the reason why Klal Yisrael counts actually the days from Yitzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah. So that's the greatest Kabbalah Torah, because what are we demonstrating? We're demonstrating the fact that we are anticipating, and we are with great expectation and great excitement anticipating coming to Kabbalah Torah. There's a famous Ran. The Ran writes in the end of Psachi, you probably know the Ran. But the Pasuk says in the beginning of Sefer Shemos that Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael that Botziacha Esom mi Mitzrayim, this is what Hashem told him, when you take the people out of Egypt, Ta'abdun es Elokim al harazeh. So the Ran says, Ta'abdun, Ta'abdun nun. That on the 50th day, or after the 50th day, you're going to worship Hashem on this mountain, referring to Kabbalah Satorah. So here we have this interregnum, this entire period of time between Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kabbalah Satorah. It was all for the purpose of, shall we say, showing chavivas for Torah, showing the love that we have for Torah, showing the hishtokakut, showing the nostalgia, the desire that we have, the gaguim for Torah, and that's why the Midas Adin, Dafka, in this period of time is Toveya, Kabbalah Torah to a large extent. Now, I want to discuss, as I said, where you see this aspect of Kabbalah Torah in a number of areas in Halacha, and I jotted down for myself a number of such areas. Yeah?
Did they know how many days it would be till Rosh Hashanah instead of counting?
It's an excellent kasha. Rishonim are bothered by that kasha, but there's a remez. That's what the Ran writes. A remez is not possible in the beginning of Shmos. You are probably familiar with that pasuk. Take a look at the beginning of Shemos, you'll see it. If you have a chumash, you can actually see it inside. But the Ran quotes this at the end of Psachim. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu, when he became the manik of Kal Yisrael, this is what Hashem told him in the context of, in Perek Gimel it should be, by right by the snare.
Nevin saw when he explains it, it sounds like they didn't know.
They did not.
Because they were counting other saying, oh, it's been over, it's in a day, it's in 5 days already.
The kasha, that's the hanocha, the kasha, which is a very good kasha. But in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud-Bet, you see? Vayomer Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, ki yeyeh imach, I will accompany you, v'zelech ha'oz, ki anot v'shlachicha. This is the sign that I sent you. Bo'tziach ha'asam v'mitzvayim, you see the word next word? Ta'abdun. Eselokim al harazeh. So the Ram says that here you have a remez to this idea, ta'abdun nun. And after 50 days, that's what you're going to be involved in. What are we talking about? What event is being alluded to over here? The event is Matan Torah, Maimon Har Sinai. Anyway, it's clear that, as I said, that Dafka during this period of time between Pesach and Shavuos is the period of time where Kabbalah Torah is to be exemplified. So now I want to begin by discussing a number of halachas that relate to Kabbalah Torah. I better drink this before it spills. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehyeh B'dvaro. Let's start with one halacha, which is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeh Sim Kufnun Aleph, and this is actually a very important din. There's a mitzvah, the Rambam quotes it also in Mishnah Torah, mitzvah liyachid l'makom. There's a mitzvah to designate a place for Sefer Torah, ulechabin amakom ahu, and to honor that place, ulehadro b'yoseh, and to actually treat it with tremendous deracheretz. Now, that means the following. My Rebbe, Asalvitsky Zatzal, was of the opinion that if you're going to carry a Sefer Torah, or if you're going to, let's give you several examples, let's say you're going to carry a Sefer Torah from Chutz L'Aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Be held, it has to be held the entire time. You cannot go ahead and put the Sefer Torah in the baggage department, nor can you put the Sefer Torah on the top or underneath the plane, in the baggage department, but rather the Sefer Torah has to be held. That is one din. A second halacha, there are many shuls, many synagogues, I don't know if you see it anymore today. I remember when I was a kid growing up, it was very common that what they would do is when they wanted to put the Sefer Torah, shall we say, put it aside for a while, they would put it in a what he called a pillory or a stockade. Remember in colonial times they had pillories and stockades when they wanted to punish someone? So they used to have on the bima of many, many shuls. Not, I never saw it in a Sephardic shul in my entire life. Only in Ashkenazic synagogues. Because the Sephardim understand what it means to have honor for a Sefer Torah. Ashkenazim sometimes are a little bit lacking. So what would they do? They would take the Sefer Torah and put it in this pillory, in this stockade, with chains around it, in order to hold it there. Now, Solesky was opposed to it. Or there's another practice which Ashkenazim also had. In Yisgar, what do they do with the Sefer Torah? They lie it, they put it on the bima and cover it up with a talus. Kilo giving it a burial. Ba'avdil. He was very opposed to that. He held you have to hold on to Sefer Torah the entire time. Or for that matter, there's another practice that many people sometimes will take a Sefer Torah, bring it to a Beit Avel, Chas v'Shalom. If someone passes away, he's in Shiva for a period of 7 days. You're going to have 2 days, Monday and Thursday, where you go to Lane. So there are those who think that you have to Lane three times in order to take a Sefer Torah out of a synagogue, out of a shul, out of their own Kodesh. That's not true. There's no makar like that whatsoever. Even though it's meant to be there with HaShulchan, such an idea, but there is no such makar. But the din is more important than anything else, is that you have to have an Aron Miyuchad to put the Sefer Torah in. That's what Rav Soloveitchik was very makbid about. And that's the din of Shulchan Aruch. It's quoted by the Rambam. Mitzvah liyachid ha-mokom. It is a mitzvah to designate the place. Ulechabed ha-mokom ahu. Lahabba b'yoseh. Another halacha, which is also relevant to this, is... That's exactly what I just said.
You have to have an
aron
for it?
Rav Soloveitchik felt there has to be in an aron. So I'm very makbid when the Sefer Torah is going to a Beis Avel to make sure they have an aron kodesh to put the Sefer Torah in the Makom Mechuban. There's a din regarding a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash. There it says also in Shulchan Aruch, Noagim Bahem Kavod, Lechabdom Ulerabtzom. A shul, a Beis HaKnesses, a Beis HaMedrash should be free of any lichluch. How do you translate lichluch?
Skullduggery. Dirt.
Any dirt. Dirt means skullduggery. It should be totally free, it should be naki. And the mocker for this apparently is the Sefer Hasidim, quoted by the Magen Avraham, who calls it unbelievable. One of the Rabbeim of Rashi, his name is Yaakov Rab Yochar. So it says the following about him. If there was an area in front of the Aron Kodesh that was somewhat meluchlach, that was somewhat dirty, or there were things there, it says the following. He had a very long beard. He would literally go down and sweep that area with his beard. Pilei ployim. All that is show to demonstrate the cover that one should have for Beis HaKnesses, for Beis Medrash, especially the area in front of the Aron Kodesh. There's a famous Gemara in Shabbos, I think it's on Kuf Yud Dalet. The Gemara says, Tam l'chochem shenimtza revav al bigdo chaya misa. Wow. The Tam l'chochem has a fleck, a speck of dust, or something which is, shall we say, unseemly, inappropriate on his garments. He's liable for the death penalty. Doesn't mean he gets dal misa's bezdin. Skila sreb her v'chenen chas v'sholom. Doesn't mean that. But it means it's obviously v'deh shamayim. The Gemara knows that from a pasuk. It says, "Kol misanai ohav umaves, al tikum misanai yala masni'ai." Because if a Talmud Chacham is not dressed in a proper kind of way, it has some sort of a speck, whether it's dust or something which is inappropriate on one of his clothing, it could lead to a chilul Hashem. People see the Talmud Chacham; he seems to be dressed in a reckless kind of fashion, and they want to have derech eretz for lomdei Torah. I remember I was lucky to see Hagaon of Moshe Feinstein Zatzal many, many times in my lifetime. My Rebbe, Rav Nissim Alpert Zatzal, used to bring us to the Gol Ador, to the Igros Moshe. And Igros Moshe was a very small fellow. I always say, big things come in little packages. He was a very small, diminutive fellow. He was always dressed impeccably. I never saw such a Gol Batora dressed in such an impeccable style. Always put together, always clean, always, everything about him was... I remind myself of this Gemara. Rashi says that if a Talmud Chacham is not dressed properly, people will look upon them shall we say, not in the proper kind of way, and Chas V'Shalom can have Rachman al-Lisan, a deleterious kind of effect. And Kal V'Chomer, a Mokom Torah, Beis Medrash, Beis HaKnesses, where you have Ashras HaShchina, so one has to be very careful. I was once in, not once, they have it more than once, I was in Yeshiva, where Hagoyin, HaNevin Sol Shlita, Shashem Yarech Yomov, I was there, and I saw him going around the Beis Medrash, literally cleaning the Beis Medrash. I couldn't believe what was happening. Literally could not believe what was going on. He bichvodo v'atzmo, so I attempted to, shall we say, replace him. So he asked me, what am I doing? I said, well, why is the Rosh Yeshiva, that's what I call him, why is he doing this? So he tells me, he quoted me this halacha, that a Beis HaMedrash and a Beis HaKnesses have to be a makom mechubad, have to be a clean place. Yeah, but I asked him, why is he doing this kind of work? He couldn't understand what I'm talking about. And he was also doing something else. Anytime there was a Navi on top of the Chumash, he once again inverted it. He went around the entire Beis HaMedrash. If there was a Gemara on top of the Chumash, he placed the Chumash on top of the Gemara. He was putting everything in order, returning all the Sfarim to their proper places. The Gol Ador has to go ahead and engage in this kind of activity. So this is a very important halacha, and I want to just bring a raya from a medrash in Parshas Pinchas that I'm very fond of. Rav Soloveitchik once spoke about this in the context of who are the manhigim Yisrael. So he quoted a medrash that said that Moshe Rabbeinu, if you remember the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, we want to replace himself. He knew he was about to depart. So Moshe Rabbeinu now had a question, who's going to be his successor? So who became the successor of Moshe Rabbeinu? Yeshua ben Nun. Was he the greatest Talmud Chacham? So the Rav quoted a Medrash that says no. V'alo Elazar u'Pinchas hayu Yosef mi'mulachim mi Yeshua ben Nun. They were apparently intellectually more acute than Yeshua ben Nun. So why was he success? Why did he become the successor? So the answer is because he was Meshamish Moshe Rabbeinu. The Pasuk says many times in Chumash, Yeshua ben Nun nar lo yomish b'tocho oil. What did he do? He was Meshamish Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Lashon Rambam, the Rav used to quote from the Hakdama to Mishnah Torah, you probably know that Rambam. The Rambam says, "Vili Yoshua, Shu Talmido Shemoshe Rabbeinu, Masa Torah Shemal Pei Mitzivah Olea." Dafka, he became the successor because he was the one who was Meshamish Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the one, the Gemara says in Brachas, "Gdola Shimusha Shel Torah, Yosef Elibuda." Not always the greatest Talmud Chacham, the one who becomes the Manhig Yisrael. But Yeshua was the one who scrutinized the behavior of his Rebbe very, very carefully. He knew exactly how his Rebbe would behave under all circumstances, because he essentially stalked Moshe Rabbeinu. He stalked him 24/7. It's a Ramban Chumash, Ramban Kisisa. You probably know the Ramban also. Ramban writes, remember that Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua come down from the mountain. And do you recall what the Torah describes over there? Yeshua sees one thing and Moshe sees something else. What does Yeshua see? He tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol Milchama Bamachaneh. You know what's going on there? There's a war going on down there in the context of the Chet Egel. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? No, there's not a war. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Kol anos anochi shomea." Says the Rashi, quoting the Targum Unglus, "Kol chirufin v'gidufin klapi mala." Moshe Rabbeinu somehow had a sense that the people there were in a state of, shall we say, frenzy. Moshe Rabbeinu left, and they thought that he had abandoned them, and they were essentially isolated all by themselves, and they went into a panic, where the Ramban learns. And so that's what he saw. So the Ramban is bothered by the following kasha. How can Moshe Rabbeinu see one thing and Yeshua see something else? So the Ramban quotes a Medrash. And the Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu, Manig Yisrael hoya, umakir binigune hakolos. Moshe Rabbeinu was a manig, and a manig knows the nigin. He can tell if the nigin is the nigin of milchama, or the nigin of what? Frenzy. People who are simply in a state of complete and total disarray. People who are totally discombobulated. So in order to become a Manhig Yisrael, you have to be, shall we say, someone who's Meshamesh, an earlier Manhig, and you don't necessarily have to be the greatest Talmud Chacham. Obviously, a great Talmud Chacham is certainly that which is ideal, to be a Manhig Yisrael, but not necessarily is the greatest Talmud Chacham the Manhig Yisrael. There were many Manhig Yisrael. I want to mention names because that would perhaps put me in a difficult situation, but it might be also Avak Lashon Hara, so I don't want to be involved in that, Chas V'Shalom. But there were many Manhigim Yisrael who were great Talmidei Chacham, but not necessarily the greatest of the Gedolei Ador. But they are the ones who were Meshamish previous generations. As a result, they became Manhigim Yisrael. So there's a Lashon of Medrash in Pinchas, what Yeshua become the successor of the Moshe Rabbeinu, quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Notza te'ino yochal pirya. The one that got the tree, he shall eat of the fruit. Says the Medrash, Yeshua haya mashkim umariv bevei savad bemeyom bemalayla, before the shear, who spread out the mats? Who set up the chairs? Who did all the arrangements before the shear? Yoshua ben Nun. And because of that, he became the successor of the Moshe Rabbeinu. So this is the yisod that the Gemara says in Bracha in the first parak, G'dol shimusha shel Torah Yosef u'limuda. And the best example the Gemara gives is whom? Who? Which Navi was Meshamish another Navi? Was his Talmud Mubak and became, as it was the Navi after that run? Namely, Eliyahu Navi and Elisha. Elisha was Meshamish Elio, and as a result, he became the successor to Elio HaNavi. So here we have, again, this idea of, and it also shows the Chadibus HaTorah, that someone arranges the entire Shia beforehand and takes care of the Rebbe. That someone is certainly worthy of, shall we say, becoming the man of Yisrael. There's a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Perek Vov, when David HaMelech actually is bringing the Aron Kodesh. Remember, the Aron Kodesh was taken captive by the Plishtim. The fellow Chutzlaritz. Just recently, I met someone last week, Chutzlaritz. He kept telling me, Plishtim, are the Palestinians. I said, no, not the Palestinians. Yes. The Plishtim and the Palestinians are two different groups of people. Anyway, so it was taken captive by the Plishtim, and now he's bringing it from Kiryat Yarim, which is over here, Tel Stone, to Yerushalayim. And then you remember what happened, the story of Uzzah. Uzzah happens to be also Haftarah Pasha Shmini, correct? And he wanted to balance, to write the Aron Kodesh, and because he touched it, so Hashem right away he was struck down. One has to be extremely careful. So right away it says, Vayichal the David. David becomes very, very upset. So the Medrash writes, actually Gemara, if I'm not mistaken, that his face became like coals, black like coals. Here we have the height of Simcha. The Aron is being brought back to its proper place, and this terrible tragedy occurs. And the Lashon of, as I said, of Vayichar, L'David, David becomes, his face is all blackened. And then, of course, temporarily, they take the Aron HaKodesh and put it in the house of Ovid, Edom, Agiti, if you remember. It remains there for 3 months. And then it says, Vayivarach HaLokim is Ovid, Edom, it's called Beso. A bracha, a tremendous bracha was chal when he had the Aron HaKodesh within his embrace. So the Gemara says, and Rashi quotes it over there, in Shmuel Beis, what was the bracha? His wife gave birth to 6 children at one time. There's a similar Rashi. Where's the similar Rashi found? Beginning of Shmos. If you remember, that even though we were subjected to terrible inuim on the part of the Egyptians, Ubnei Yisrael, Baru, Vayishvitzu, Vayirbu, Vayatmu, Bimol, Meod. We did not say there's a proliferation of verbs over there. First it says Paru. What does Paru mean? Multiply. Then, after Paru, B'nai Yisrael, Vayishritzu. You know the word? Teeming. Excellent. From the word sheretz. Shrutzim. You know what shrutzim are in the translation in English?
Teeming things.
Yes, and they team. That's correct. I don't mean T-E-A-M. They do that also. But I'm talking about the T-E-E-M. Teeming. Multiplying beyond belief. Vayirbu. Vayatzmu. So Rashi says over there, a famous Rashi. Namely, that they gave birth, Shisha v'kerasachot, 6 at one time. So Rashi and Shmuel said the same thing based on the Gemara, that when the Aron Kodesh came to the house of over the Edomagiti, there also, it was apparently of a similar nature, Ribu Yolodim, and why was all this so? The Gemara says at the end of Masechet Brachos, that's what the Gemara, the last parak, the Gemara points out, because of the kavod that, shall we said, that he demonstrated for the Aron Kodesh. So one of the shows covered, the Torah, covered the Aron Kodesh, and the like, the Zoche, to tremendous brachas. And so that's what it says, actually, that there's a famous Ramban in Chumash, you probably know this Ramban also, Ramban of Kisavo. The Ramban writes, this is something that people are not always makbid about. I saw Rabbi Nevinsol Shlita Shashem Yarech Yomav Lanetzach. I saw Rabbi Nevinsol so many times in the yeshiva over there, because I'm in the process, I like to stalk Dolly Yisrael. And so I saw him a number of times, always returning Svarim to that place. I don't know, sometimes people borrow Svarim, sometimes my father Shalom taught me, when I borrow a Sefer, when I take out a Gemara, right away I should return it. Or it should be returned, I should make sure it's returned, and it's based on a pasuk in Chumash, in Kisavo. Oru Rashilu, Yokim is Dibri HaTorah Azos Lassos Osam. And the Ramban there refers to a Chazal, a Medrash, that refers to someone who doesn't put the Sefer Torah back litikunan, or put Svarim back in their proper place. And there are two issues. One is Kavod HaSefer, but two, besides Kavod HaSefer, if someone else wants to borrow the Sefer or needs that Sefer, and now they have to start looking for it, you're putting that person in a very difficult position. You're not sensitive to other people's sensibilities. So you have to make sure, when you take a Sefer, make sure that you return the Sefer to its proper place, and that certainly would be a very, very, shall we say, significant aspect of Kavod HaTorah. My father was shown, he used to cover every Sefer with his paper bags. He used to cover every Sefer. He was always worried about something falling on the Sefer, and something happening to a Sefer. I grew up like that. My father was showing, used to come to shul half hour before, and used to make sure all the svarim were in place, or people need sidurim, he put the sidurim out, he put the chumashim out, because he had tremendous derech eretz for tashmish kedusha, and that's a very important halacha. I'll just, yeah.
Is there kavod haTorah for your rebbeim, because they carry Torah with?
There's two Gemaras in Shas, one in Makkos and one in Kedushin. The Gemara says in Makkos and in Kedushin, twice in Shas, the Gemara says. The Gemara speaks about Babu Dibshoi, these foolish Babylonians. They stand up in front of a Sefer Torah, and they don't stand up in front of a Gavra Rabba, so it's a great Talmud Chacham. They of course want you to have good Acharetz for Talmud Chacham. My father, Mashon, taught me to stand up for every Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says above Mitzia, the other Mitzia. The Gemara says Tamil Chamishav Bavel Omdim Zeb Nezeh. That I tried to stand up even for the Rabbeim and our Yeshiva. We have Rabbeim who are very outstanding Tamil Chacham here, and they are maybe a year or two younger than I am. I have no concept of time, but they are outstanding Tamil Chacham. Once you stand up in front of the presence of Tamil Chacham, that's what my father Shalom told me to do. So there's no question that you know, it's interesting that there's a pasuk in Chumash. Remember Yaakov Avinu had a dream, beginning of Vayetze. So they make a joke. This is a joke. Don't take it the wrong way. Manora Amokam Azeh Ein Zekim Beis Elokim. Sometimes you go to a shul, usually in Chutz Laaretz, and you see how people behave there, absolutely beyond belief. That's why I was just there last week in a certain shul, I won't say where. And I said that pasuk. Manora Amokam Azeh. You know what Nora means? How shreklach is this place? Shrekbach means what? Horrific! Skullduggery of every sense, of every nature imaginable and unimaginable is being performed there. It must be a shul. Ain't that key base looking? That's not a shot in the pasuk. But one should realize that I'm a base elokim. It's a house of God, for goodness sakes. Have the cheres, realize where you are. Dalek nemi atome. Did I answer your question? Yes?
Everybody, you saying that also degraded?
Ooh, wow.
Here's your favorite question.
You are good. The answer is that was not my kavanah. Chas v'shalom. Kavanah is a very important factor when you, but I only said it in order to arouse people to understand the correct shot in the pasuk. But sometimes darshanim permit themselves a certain kind of license. So I just gave myself a certain license. But I'm trying to make a point. And I think you'll remember it better if I say what I said, but you're 100% right. Of course, you should not play with psukim. And the Gemara says, the Gemara in Kedushin, you probably know that Gemara too, the Gemara in the second paragraph. The Gemara points out that you have to be careful how you interpret how you play with psukim. 100% right. I accept your musar and Hashem should bless you. But I only did it in order to accentuate a certain point, etc. And to show we have to have Kavod Hashchina, because the Beis HaMikdash is really Paltin Shel Melech. The Ramban writes in the Akdamot Vamibar, oh, it's not yet, the Vamibar, this week's Parsha. Ramban, now I can connect the Vamibar. The Ramban writes in the Akdamot Vamibar, he calls Eretz Yisrael Paltin Shel Melech, the palace of a king. The Ramban also uses such a lashon. There's a din of Shemir HaMikdash, there's an obligation of the Levim to guard the Mikdash. You probably learn Mishnayis of Tamim, Mishnayis of Midos, I assume, you probably learn Gemara's like that. And speaking about the obligation to guard the HaMikdash. So there's also an obligation, I think of a similar nature, that when one is in a Paltin Shel Melech, namely, where's the Paltin Shel Melech? A Beis Medrash. That's also downstairs here in the Beis Medrash, in the base, it's a palace of a king. And one has to accord the proper kind of cover. There's a very fascinating Chafetz Chaim, I just mentioned, this Chafetz Chaim, you'll probably think there's a Chiddush. This Chafetz Chaim is a marvelous Chiddush. He writes in his in the Psicha to Lashon Hara, he says something which is fantastic. We spoke about it earlier. So the Chafetz Chaim says that if a person speaks Lashon Hara, you're over on the Yisur of Lashon Hara. What about if I speak Lashon Hara in the Beis Medrash? Let's say downstairs, Chas V'Shalom. I speak Lashon Hara. The Chafetz Chaim says, not only are you over on the Yisur of Lashon Hara, you're also over on another Pasuk. As Migdashi Tiro. The Gemara says in Megillah, you know that Gemara? The Gemara calls the Pasuk in Yecheskel. The Navi says that a Beis Medrash is a Migdash Ma'at. It's like a miniature Beis HaMikdash. And there's a din of Eshapsol Saitishmaru, Migdashi Tiro. Remember that Pasuk? The end of Bahar? We just read it a short while ago. It's found twice in Chumash. Exactly the same Pasuk. There's a din of Mara Migdash. The Gemara in Yevamos in the first parak speaks about how one should have the Cheretz for Beis HaMikdash. And in similar vein for a Migdash Ma'at. A miniature Migdash, which of course is what? A Beis Medrash. So the Chafetz Chaim says, not only am I over on Lashon Hara, but I'm also over on what Isur? Umigdashi Tiro. What a Chiddush. I would not have said that. But the Chafetz Chaim says it. And else there's a Migdash Ma'at concept, Batik Nesios, Batik Midrashos. If you look in the Kufnan Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to look in the Chafetz Chaim Shemir HaSalosha, even though it's a good saying to learn. I'm sure you probably have seen it already a number of times. But in the Chafetz Chaim, in Shulchan Aruch itself, the dinam of Beis Knesset, Beis Medrash, that's what he writes. He mentioned this as well. Let's say I speak Dvar Metelem in the Beis Medrash. Let's say I engage in Schod V'Kalos Rosh. How do you translate that? Lightheadedness or frivolity. He says there's an Issa Daraisa of Migdashi Tiro. Wow, what an achrayus. So all of us, maybe once in a while, once every 3 days, we may say some joke in the Beis Medrash. But according to the Chafetz Chaim, it's a problematic thing. We have to be very careful how we speak in the Beis Medrash. And even though there's a heter for people to learn Torah, to eat and to sleep, but not to engage in Kalos Rosh. Okay, what we do here is not Kalos Rosh, because we are all B'nai Torah, outstanding B'nai Torah. We don't engage in Kalos Rosh. Yes. If you know the Gemara in Sukkah, the Gemara Shafil Sichas Chulin Shel Tavli Chachom Tzvichalimu, the Gemara in the second parak. Says, Yoleu Lo Yibo. Remember that pasuk? Hazal Darshan, even the jokes, when I used to take notes for Absalom Eichin, I wrote down even his jokes. It says even the joke of Talmud Chacham has to be examined, has to be studied carefully. Yeah, go ahead, Moshe.
The base measures is a Mikdash Ma'at. How are we allowed to have like garbage cans with garbage in them in the base measures?
I never noticed that. Are there garbage cans here?
Yeah.
I guess that's also part of what I said earlier. In order to make sure that the place is noki milichluch, it shouldn't have any dirt, so people have a garbage can that they can, whether it's like they eat something, people of your stature who are terasin ulusam, you just learn all day and all night, so therefore you're allowed to eat in the Beis Medrash. But what do you do with the wrappers? So hopefully you're not going to throw the wrappers on the floor, you'll put it in the pach.
Should one try to distance himself from those things when he's learning your dominant?
Should one try to
distance himself
from what?
The garbage cans.
In general, probably that's a correct statement, but as long as you don't have something that has a reach ra, or has mamashis, or something which is excrement in nature, I don't think people put that over there, I hope not. From what I can see, mostly rappers and things of that sort, I think it's fine. But anyway, I'm just indicating, I just want to give you another interesting Chafetz Chaim, since I mentioned one, I'll mention another Chafetz Chaim, which always is striking to me. He brings that a person that, if I speak Lashon Hara about a Kohen, so the Chafetz Chaim says, not only am I over on Lashon Hara, I'm over on another Yisra. What din is there regarding a Kohen? Who's there a Kohen over here? Yes. So we have to treat a Kohen with the proper Derech Eretz. That's why I can't let you do anything for me. And the Kohanim here in the yeshiva, I'm very makbid on that. Even though they say it's not a problem for a Talmud Chacham, but I'm not a Talmud Chacham, so therefore I don't have that problem. So I have an issue. What?
Or the Kohanim Mechon is covered.
So that's what the halacha is. The Kohanim Mechon is covered, and they're allowed to be Mechon is covered. But there's a din of Mishamshim Mechon. It's a din of Shulchan Aruch, it's a Gemara. You probably know the Sugi Gittin over there. But the Chafetz Chaim has a very wondrous psalm. He says that there's a din, you're supposed to give a Kohen, Kol Dorshim Kedusha, the Kohen goes first, correct? That's based on the pasuk in Emor, "Bikidashto ki aslachem alokechul makbir." We just learned Emor just the other day. Just want to let me finish this point. So the Chafetz Chaim said, "You speak lashon hara about a kohen. Not only are you over lashon hara, but you also over bikidashto. You are in effect undermining his sanctity, his inherent, shall we say, his inherent kedusha and chas v'shalom. Especially if you do it in the Beis Medrash, you're over on lashon hara, bikidashto, and the Mikdashi Tiro. You have three surim." That you're over on. Wow, these are unbelievable chidushim. But the fact is, you have to be mechabed. A makom where the shechina is, and Baruch Hashem, every Beis Medrash is a makom where the shechina, so one has to be very careful. Yeah.
What if you personally don't want to allow a kohen to, even if he's machlas kavod, can you like say I really just don't.
Here they sometimes people even rabbeim think that I eat breakfast and they take water. They quickly grab my. There's a gentleman, very chashuv talmid chacham in yeshiva, a young talmid chacham, outstanding talmid chacham, of Sfardi, shall we say, heritage. And he sometimes grabs my plate and puts it in the garbage. That really gets me exasperated. Because it says, Ein mishtamshim talmidei chachamim. So he says to me, what do you mean, Ein mishtamshim? I took it on my own to be mishtamshim talmidei chachamim. But he's got the wrong guy. I think that you have to let people be mishtamshim if you are worthy of it. So I like to be mishtamshim to Yisrael. Rabbi Levinsohn, first time I met Rabbi Levinsohn, I think I told you the story.
No,
this is many years ago, about 18 years ago.
Went to his apartment.
I went to his house, to Rabbi Levinsohn's house, and I needed someone to basically to ask shilas from, or to talk to, someone who could help me, because I needed a lot of assistance. So I went there, it was in the winter time, it was freezing. I remember that. I had my coat, my hat, and wearing a few sweaters, Kedaki Bakodesh. Anyway, Bekitsa, I come there, I stand, I knock on the door, he answers. I asked him, can I ask him a few questions? He said, surely, after about a half hour, and the place, and he's not dressed in his, I didn't realize it, otherwise I would not have done it. I mean, don't be pushing me. Anyway, so it was freezing, and he's dressed in his shirt sleeves, and I'm in my three sweaters, a few more layers, and a coat, and whatever it is. So he says, David, tikanes. Once you know my name, tikanes, enter. And you'll be able to discuss it inside. See, I'm not tell that Tzviach HaTarav. I kept saying, I don't want to bother the Rav. Ki'ilu, I'm not bothering him now for the first half hour. So, I didn't forget you. So, what happens? He says to me, Hakei Rega! Wait a moment. So he leaves. He goes inside. 5 minutes later, he comes back. He has two sweaters, a jacket, a coat, a hat. He has a sense of humor. All right. I got the point. But I'm a little thick-headed, so it took me a while till I got it. So he had to put on this whole demonstration in order for me to understand. He wanted me to come inside, etc., and take off my coat and hat. And yeah.
Are Kohanim allowed to even fill their kavod now?
That's what we just discussed. The answer is yes.
But if they're representing Kavod HaTorah now?
Unless it's Kavod HaTorah. The Gemara says that Talmid Chacham is allowed to be Merichel. The only one who's not allowed to be Merichel is Adam Kedushin. A melech cannot be meichel. Ain't kvoid the meichel. Some tassim alecha melech, shetei maso alecha. He can't be meichel. But the talmid chacham, a kohen, they can't be meichel the kohen. Unless it affects the kavod HaTorah.
But they represent kavod HaTorah. That's what
okay. That's what he's asking, basically. But again, usually in issues that I'm just describing before, it's not kavod HaTorah that's involved. And if anything, it's not a violation. And that is an interesting kasha, the Torah Tumimah, and Pashas Naso. When I was Bar Mitzvah, I got a Torah Tumimah as a present, and my former shul was to give Torah Tumimahs as present to Bar Mitzvah boys. How many Bar Mitzvah boys do you think actually learned the Torah Tumimah that was to give them? Anyway, he asked a question on a Tshuvas HaRambam. The Rambam apparently was asked from the Chachmei Alexandria. You know Chachmei Alexandria? The Gemara in Sukkah, in the last parak. The Gemara speaks about the Chachmei Alexandria. What did they have over there? What did he say?
Correct.
But the shul that had what?
The big chairs.
How did they communicate?
The
semaphores. Correct. Excellent. And Tyson's bothered there. All the Rishonim asked the Kasha. People did not even hear the full bracha. And the answer, Amen. How could they answer Amen to a bracha they didn't hear? Famous Tyson. What was that?
Amen
Yisoma. Well, not just Amen Yisoma. Other problems also.
What bracha is supposed to be said.
Exactly. That's another problem. So this is an issue I'm not discussing right now. But anyway, he quotes from Chachmei Alexandria, the Rambam here, that there was a meaning apparently that when the Kohen reached the Duchen, it says, Achoreim Alahechol, correct? And Bein Pasuach Bein Sagur, Pneim Alaham. So there were those who claimed that it's not Beseder. They asked the Rambam. So the Rambam, the issue was that the Kohen in their backs are now to the Aron Kodesh. How can their backs be to the Aron Kodesh? By the way, the same issue exists for Rabbanim who speak from the Amid. Their backs are also the Aron Kodesh. But they asked the Rambam, excellent. So the Rambam answered the Kasha. And the Rambam said, number one, that's what the Taz writes over there in Yerodea. You're familiar with the Taz. He's a Ben Harav. Yudiyazeh. Lorak Ben Harav. Miyuad Liyod Rav. Miyatz Hashem. So the Rambam gives another answer. The Rambam says the Sefer Torah is 10 Tzvachim high. It's a Sefer Rishus. And because it's a Sefer Rishus, the Rambam says you don't have to worry about it. The Taz says what you say. That's closed. And therefore there's no problem. Even though I know Rabbanim, who are so I'm telling you, they have such yiras hakovid, they will never stand with their backs to the Aron Kodesh. They'll always move to the side, never will their back be to the Aron Kodesh. Even though it's closed, Asebi Rishus, and as the Rambam said, the Sefer Torah is above 10 Tvachim, they're married, medakte because of their Rishul Yiras HaKavit. I don't know if I ever told you, Rabbi Soloveitchik, his Deracheres for Sefer Torah was mind-boggling. On Simchas Torah, when they would start dancing, he would never want his back to be to a Sefer Torah. In Maimonides, the synagogue and the school and the shul that he built, there's no, the bima, there are no seats in front of the bima. Why? Because someone's back might be to the Sefer Torah. I it's on a bima, which is a Rishus B'nai Atzmo, maybe 10 Tzvachim high, is it a halachic problem? No. But he was very medaktik on one's back being to Sefer Torah. I'm also makbir about it. Those who see me once in a while, and there's laning here Monday, Thursday, I usually daven here. This morning I had a problem with a tooth. So I had to go to a dentist. Unfortunately. Anyway, so, but I usually daven here, so I'm not going to Monday and Thursday when the Sefer Torah is taken out. What do? I start swiveling. Never will I have my back to a Sefer Torah. This comes from my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, was very makbid about it. And well, let me just mention one more thing. I'm just indicating that even though it's mutter, so anyway, the Torah to me, when he asked the Kasha, he asked from the Gemara in Saita. The Gemara says, that the fear of the Tzibur should be upon you. And he writes, Sha'akoni machzirim paneim klapi ha'am, v'achoreim l'tzad ha'shchina, means according to the Gemara, this din of paneim, as I mentioned, klapi ha'am, is mishum kavod ha'tzibur. We don't care the fact that their backs are klapi ha'shchina. The Gemara seems to say, we're not worried about it, because why are they facing the Tzibur? Mishum kavod ha'tzibur. It's very interesting. I was Masada Kedushin about a week ago, here in, to a former Talmud of Yeshiva, and there was a whole tumult, how should I stand? So the photographer wanted me to stand facing the chasam the kala. And I felt, I generally try to avoid that if I possibly can. I don't think it's proper that my back should be to the seaboard, people who are there in the audience, based on this Gemara and Saita. What do you say? Anyway, I won't get into that issue, but he has the stira. The Ram doesn't mention his time with the Gemara. The Ram means his own svara. That if it's 10 tzvachim high, so the Rambam is not bothered about this issue. But whatever the case is, I want to mention one more thing here, and that, again, as I said, the heter, as you mentioned, Moshe, and it could be there are two separate issues. One is an issue of kavod of the Sefer Torah, one is an issue of kavod hashchina. I mean, what's nogiyah to kavod of the Sefer Torah, so then it's not mistabir that kavod hatzibur is somehow more significant than kavod of the Sefer Torah. If the heichal is sagur, the Aron Kodesh is closed, even though it's written with the atzmo, but the Shekhinah obviously is hovering over that area. Obviously there's a Hashuras HaShekhinah, and therefore there's missing Kavod HaShekhinah. The Gemara is talking about Kavod HaShekhinah. The Gemara says, "Lo'olam he'eim ha'sibur alecha, sh'ari ha'kon yim machzirim p'neim klapi ha'am, v'achoreim v'tzad HaShekhinah." And the Rambam is talking about a Sefer Torah. The Kohanim who are duchanin, their backs are to the Heichal, whether it's open or closed. And the Rambam's question is, Kavod of a Sefer Torah. Mashaykh, the other Gemara is talking about Kavod HaShekhinah, Svei Dinin! Therefore, there's no stira, there's no contradiction between the two Gemaras. Yeah?
In a shul where there's multiple Sefer Torahs,
right.
Sometimes the Aron will be open as they're carrying the Sefer Torah. Should I face the Aron or should I face the Sefer Torah that's being carried around?
I mean, since the Aron is a shus with the Atzma, as you pointed out, you don't have to worry about the Sefer Torah that are left of the Aron. We have to be primarily concerned about the Sefer Torah.
Just turn my back to the Aron.
There's even another, there's a Mechaben Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, that's all right. There's a Mechaben Shulchan Aruch, actually. Where Rasaleshi was very, I don't know, when I grew up, maybe they still do it. When I grew up, the minute of the shuls that I went to was not by the Sfardim. They are, forget about it. They're in a separate, they're in the, they're upstairs in the stratosphere. It's such a rarefied, sanctified, holy atmosphere. I'm not joking. I was in Deal, New Jersey. I think I told you. Last summer, was it two summers ago? Two summers ago with Rabbi Shamula. That was something. Rabbi Schneider always says that he and I should go on YouTube. We can make more money for the yeshiva than all the fundraising that we do. I love Rabbi Shabula. What?
Which bet can I say in deal?
One, there were, I think, 75 Kohanim. They all stood in front. And by the way, I had a problem because I didn't realize, usually I don't move. My feet for Shmonesrei, like I saw Leshik Tzvei Dinim Shmonesrei, Tzvila Tat Tzibur, Bit Tzibur, and now they all came there, and I was now found myself. I had a problem. So I didn't know what to do. Don't worry, I moved. So they were lined up there so beautifully. I didn't hear a word, not a pin drop during the entire tefillah. They know how to behave properly during tefillah. We have to teach the Ashkenazim how to behave a little bit. But how did I get into this? Because we're talking about a mechabit. Oh, so when I was a little kid growing up, so you know what they used to do? They'd take out the Sefer Torah from the Aron Kodesh, and then they'd walk around the entire shul so everyone could kiss the Sefer Torah. But I think the president of the shul also walked around in order to say Shalom Aleichem to every Balabite in the shul to make sure that they know that they recognize, and then of course schlep some green tamales out of that. How was the maskala I came to? So Rav Soloveitchik was very opposed to this. What kind of business is this? It said you're supposed to go to the Sefer Torah. Not the Sefer Torah should go to you. You don't use the Sefer Torah as a means to walk around the shul. What kind of business is that? He was very opposed to that. Yeah.
How does one not have their back face a Torah when it's a Simchas Torah and there are Torahs everywhere and there's
stand in the
corner? So that's one possibility.
You want
to
get a look at it?
Trust me, it's almost impossible. So I used to swivel all over the place. I mean, it was almost uncanny. Not only that, there's a Gemara in Brachos at the end of the last parak also. The Rav was marked, he quoted from Chaim Brisk, his grandfather, that if someone gives you the Sefer Torah on Simchas Torah, you can't give it back to anybody else. Once they give you the Sefer Torah, you got to hold on to it forever. until the Gabbai brings it back to the Aron HaKodesh. You had so many chumrot regarding the Sefer Torah that there are cherets and kavod. The Sfadim! Shabbat, you understand what the Sfadim are all about. There you be. Yakta Shem Kamo. Rak Pagashni, I'm told. Nei Shuaim. Ani Hashem. Lo? Baruch Hashem, Zachiti. Yes?
Can you start sort of having your back to Torah if you're holding another Sefer Torah?
Clearly, these things are very difficult. We have to be realistic. And we obviously, doesn't mean we don't have a cover for the Sefer Torah, for sure we do. I want to mention one or two more things. Wow. Anyway, a person who wants to acquire Torah Shabbat Peh, which is all Baruch Hashem, what you are doing in the yeshiva, and you want it to be Nivla. Bidomecha, binafshecha, you want it to become part of your very entire persona. It should become literally absorbed osmotically in your veins. And you should become a cheft of a Sefer Torah, to quote Rabbi Reichman. You should become like a cloth for a Sefer Torah. A cloth meaning a
parchment,
thank you. And so that in order that one should do so, certainly a hakdama for this is to have kavod and to show the cheretz for the Sefer Torah, for the Beis HaKnesses, and unquestionably, part of that means, of course, is that you have to develop beautiful midos. You have to develop beautiful character traits, as we have Talmidim and Yeshiva. We have this crew that I have right in front of me. Wow, what luster of character. Where did you come from? Okay, the Sfaradim have it naturally. But the Ashkenazim, what do we do with the Ashkenazim? The answer is the Ashkenazim, you know where they got it? We believe in our Torah. Well, partially because of the Sfaradim. You know what I maintain? I've said this many times. I believe that we started the yeshiva and have both Sfaradim and Ashkenazim because the Sfaradim never heard who are Ashkenazim. They were nestled in Flatbush or in Great Neck or wherever they were in L.A. They never heard the Ashkenazim in the world. And you think the Ashkenazim ever heard there were Sfaradim in the world? What do you say to that situation? Pretty sad. You know what I say? That's what I say. Do I have to translate that? We have a number of pundits over here. The beauty of Sfaradim and Ashkenazim together, there's nothing greater and more beautiful than that. That's how I see Klal Yisrael and all the beauty. The Gemara says, Kol HaMechabed Rav Yossi. I think it's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Kol HaMechabed Es HaTorah Gufo Mechubad Al HaBriyot. So the Meiri says, Mechabed et HaTorah explains that Mishnah, namely, Binoam Hamidot. He has beautiful luster of character, like all of you. That is the greatest covenant of Torah. Noki Bemidot Nichbadot. Someone who's, shall we say, has such beautiful character trait. The Gemara says, Bechol Ha'isiyu B'gadech HaLobanim, that's a Pasuk Koheles. The Gaon says, what do B'gadim refer to? Your garment should always be white and clean, says the Gaon. Big day hanefesh. What are the big day ha-nefesh? The character of a person. Those are the big day ha-nefesh of the individual. And that's what the Gemara says. Tamal Chacham, I started with this before. Tamal Chacham shenimsa revav al-big do chayim misa. Tamal Chacham has some sort of a speck of dust or something else that's inappropriate on his garments is liable for misa v'shamayim. That means one of two things. Number one, pshutu gemashmo, he should be clean completely. But number two, if he has a revav in his midos, if there's something lacking in his midos, in his character, something deficient in his personality, so that's something which is obviously totally inappropriate. Chazal tell us that the Torah is compared to Eish. Haloko dvarai ka Eish nu Hashem. What does Eish do? Eish burns. Someone just showed me a picture when I was last week in New York of a Ford Mustang in Hawaii. There was this vase near. What went on over there? Rahman Litzlan. The lava, the molten lava, how it ate up a car. I was shaking. In seconds, the car was eaten up. You know lava? Not chalva that they serve here for breakfast. Although that tastes like lava too. The lava, literally, it consumed an entire car in no time, in seconds. Eish. Torah is also like fire. Torah can be all-consuming, all-enveloping, all-encompassing. It can transform a person entirely. And there's a sefer called Malos HaTorah. You ever saw the brother of the Vilna Gaon? Maybe some of you are familiar with that sefer. Malos HaTorah. Very beautiful sefer. He speaks a lot about this idea, about this notion of, shall we say, Eish. And certainly the Eish HaTorah, which the Ramban writes in Bas Chanan, that's something that all of us should acquire. Torah actually is not only cathartic, not only does it cleanse your personality, it scourges you, but also Torah actually is matara a person, and that's something which of course is very, very significant. And in general, I've said this many times, that when someone looks for a Ben Torah to marry, a young woman, that's what I tell them. They ask me, what should they look for? Undoubtedly a Ben Torah, a Talmid Chacham, but primarily one thing, on a scale of 1 to 10. Midos, 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 and more midos. That is the key. The key to marriage, the key to success, the key to everything. Or Kamo show me midot. The Ashkenazim, they don't understand that language. So we have to speak in Ashkenazic language. That's the key. I will just more or less end. I guess I have to, no choice. And that is, I'm going to just mention at the end, you know, there are many ways of Kabbalah Torah. And the Mishnah writes at the end of Saita, Mishmeisa Bab Kiva, Batal Kabbalah Torah. What does that mean exactly, Kabbalah Torah? So, just to summarize what I said till now, that this particular period of time before Shavuos is as ma, which is mesugo for every aspect of the Kabbalah Torah. Number one, Kabbalah Mokom, showing cover for the base, for Beit Knesset, for Beit Hamedrash. Number two, Kabbalah Shechina. Number three, my inner cover being a Baal Midos. I should be roy to be mekabel the Torah, Torah Shebaal Peh. But above all, a person should recognize that one who becomes a Ben Torah, the simcha, the joy that one has in acquiring this level is the greatest osher, the greatest happiness that one could possibly reach, is the joy at each one of us, every single one in this room has a chelik in Torah, that Hashem is Barak provided us, everyone has the kishrona, some more, some less, it's totally irrelevant. Acquisition of Torah is not totally on kishrona. You don't have to be an Eloi. No. You don't have to be an Eloi. My family are not Eloyim. We're simple people. A very simple stock. And we discovered that it's possible to acquire the Torah. And the simcha that one acquires with Torah, there's nothing comparable to it. Halavai, Hashem should be mezaka, all of you. Collectively and individually, we should be zocha to mekabel the Torah. We should be zocha to aliyah b'Torah, to atzlacha in Torah. And Be'ez Hashem is barach, Hashem should give us unbelievable siyata d'shvayim. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to put this inside. Go into the car. I have to get to the bar mitzvah. Yeah. Thank you. Who's taking it? Shukrach, you.
Sorry.
Shukrach for coming. And for Xeroxing, whatever they call it.